What's the difference between a frog, a toad, and what the heck is a spring peeper? That's what we're going to talk about today. Nights can never be real and enjoyable without the croaking of frogs and the chirping of crickets. Michael Bassey Johnson, the song of a nature lover. Boy, he's right. You go out in the middle of the night, or if you're a camper, that sound of frogs calling from the trees, there's crickets out there too, just makes camping so much richer. It doesn't even feel like you're in the woods unless you hear frogs chirping. And we're going to talk a little bit today about frogs, their chirping, and what's the difference between frogs, toads, other pieces of information about them. And we're going to base a lot of our information on two different books. The first one is by Tim Halliday, The Book of Frogs, A Life-Size Guide to 600 Species from Around the World. This is a very interesting book if you love frogs. You will get a chance to see almost every frog around the world and a little bit of information about them. Where this book is a little bit frustrating is if you're looking for frogs in a particular area, like I want to see the frogs that live in my neck of the woods, it's hard to do in this book. But once you find them and once you know what they are, then you can look them up and see what cool information there is about them. And the second book is called Summer World, A Season of Bounty by Bernd Heinrich. There are two books out there, Winter World and Summer World. And if you're looking for two great books about nature, those are where to go. I've loved all of the books he's written, but in particular, both of those books. And they both give information about what we're going to talk about today. Starting us off, there are frogs and there are toads, and they're all in the order of Anura, which they said is the largest of the three orders that make up all the vertebrae. Those are the animals that have backbones that live on land for part of their lives and water for the rest of their lives. The mean Anura means without a tail. So this would be in comparison to the other amphibians like salamanders who have tails. So that's how they're named. They all have, and these are going to be toads and frogs and peepers. We'll talk about those in a minute. The same basic types of life. They have the ability to withstand cold by hibernating, in a sense. We'll have a whole podcast on frogsicles and how they hibernate, on how they get their heat, how they're raised. And you may notice that if you look at frogs in the world, they don't live in the coldest parts of this world. They can't hack it. One key thing to note is when you're warm-blooded like we are, we generate our own heat. So that means even if we're cold, we have means to keep ourselves alive with internal processes. Anything that's cold-blooded can only get its heat from external sources, like the sun, like warming in the air around it. If you go to a place that's too cold, they have no chance or no ability to get warm. Most of the amphibians, in general, have thin, soft skin. It's permeable to water. That means water can kind of flow in and out of it and doesn't beat up on top of their skin like maybe you'd see a car beating water, you know, having bubbles of water on top of it. And so that also means that they have to live in places that are mostly moist and will often breed only when there's high rainfall or there's lakes and some types of pools of water that they can breed in. One thing to know is that, like all amphibians, they have four different life cycles. They have eggs, then they are larvae, then there are juveniles, and then they become adults. We know that frogs have tadpoles. If you haven't seen one, go look up to see what a tadpole looks like. A little bit like fish, but they will become frogs. But they breathe with gills like fish and get their air from the water itself. They can't come out of the water. Eventually, they transition into what would be a juvenile state. They're still enmeshed a little bit. You can tell that they were once tadpoles, but now you're starting to see the frog in there. And then when they're free and can go on land, they lose their tail and they're full-fledged frogs and toads. And that means that their gills dissolve. That means that they start breathing air and the oxygen on Earth as compared to breathing underwater like they did when they were tadpoles. Most of the frogs and toads lay their eggs in water and they hatch into the larva and then the juveniles inside the water. Frogs are also all fresh water, even though some of them can survive in a little bit of what they call brackish water. Brackish water means it has a little bit of salt, but it's primarily fresh water. And so that also means that there are no frogs and toads in the oceans or the seas where it's just pure salt water. They have digits on their arms and their feet, but most people in science will call them the forelegs, the front feet, and the hind legs, the back feet. They also have a tympanum, which is what was called for a drum, but essentially it's two round areas on their head that allow them to basically hear. It's an eardrum, but it's more external than the way our eardrums look. They're typically very good jumpers. Their heads are wide, it says. Their necks are flexible. And virtually all frogs are carnivores, feeding on living prey, bugs and insects, maybe other small fish-type items, but bugs and insects. And because their eyes are so large, they have a good shot at seeing their prey. I mentioned that they have digits, and all of them typically have four digits on their front legs, which I called their arms, and they have five toes on their feet on their hind legs. Some of them have adhesive pads, which means that they can climb up trees, they can climb up rocks, and so they can get around that way too. Most frogs and toads have at least one or two inflatable voice sacs, which means you can see a piece of skin kind of bow out while they're making their croaking noises. This allows their noise to get much louder than the kind of noise they could produce normally. And some of their noises are quite loud. And while they get most of their air from breathing, just like we do, they can also bring in some air from their skin. And believe it or not, we breathe through our skins a little bit too. The big difference between frogs and toads is a bit regional. In North America and Europe, we consider the two terms to be different in the fact that the toads are kind of have skins with bumps on them, what they call warty skin, and a little bit more on earth, as in compared to water, than frogs. It's a different definition when you're in Africa. Something they call a clawed toad is entirely in the water and has very smooth skin. So the distinction is not quite as biological as you might think. And the book says, quote, "The distinction between frogs and toads is biologically meaningless." Oh boy. So I mentioned we start off as eggs. These toads will lay their eggs mostly, typically, in water or moist areas. And some of those even try to put them into tiny pools. Those little tadpoles need to be in water in order to eat and breathe. And so it has to be enough water in there to allow them to develop and grow. Some of them will actually carry their eggs on their back and carry them with them. And some of them lay such large eggs, they actually just put them into the water and hope that they can fend for themselves. Really, they can't. And the predators that eat on frog eggs are primarily fish and other animals that are in the water, but it's very hazardous for them. Sometimes you see like foam around the eggs, and this is to obscure them. So maybe they're not quite as obvious as eggs to predators in that body of water. And some of the frogs and toads will try to look around to see if there are fish in this pond. And so they will go to a very small pond to lay their eggs, thinking that it's safer because it's shallow. There's no fish in there. But what they don't know is that it is a temporary pond that just maybe came about with a huge rainstorm. And so those eggs won't survive because that water is just not going to be there in a couple of weeks. The idea is to have such a population of eggs from all the frogs or all the toads that some of them make it and that you get a population the next year. Then tadpoles become more like a fish-like shape. It's not quite the same thing, and a biologist would yell at me, but essentially they can now shimmy around, which means that they can get away from predators, but they still need that water. They still need the water. Give them enough time until they could go into the juvenile status. They said that some places like deserts, there are frogs that can reach that metamorphosis stage in 8 days. So it depends on the breed of frog or toad to know how much time they need with that water to survive their growing process and to get to the part where they can live on land. And many of the tadpoles will eat some of the plant material inside the water. They don't have teeth. And there's moss and other types of nutrients that they can get. At the juvenile stage, and that's when they're young frogs, they can live at land and then be able to reproduce on their own after they reach maturity. They still try to hang out in more secretive areas because they're not quite grown enough to be as protective of their habitat, of their area as the adults. And then when the frog gets to the adult stage, they grow very slowly. Female frogs are often larger than the males, and the males greatly outnumber the females. What I find interesting and why I think frogs are so exciting is the call. When Em and I go out hiking and we're looking for birds, one of the best things about spring is what we call the spring peepers, which is just a type of frog, and they hang out in marsh areas among the reeds of the marsh plants that are not yet grown from the previous year. They can handle cold temperatures, so they come out first. And so even though it's a chilly day, Em and I have been bird watching in some 30-degree mornings, which is quite chilly for us even too, but we can hear the peepers once the sun comes out and they start to warm up a little bit, they start to make their call. But they say a lot of times when you get to that 40-degree sort of wet day out there, suddenly all the frogs wake up that are not the peepers. The peepers can handle a little bit more cold than most frogs. The other frogs start waking up and then they start chirping too. There's wood frogs. We get chorus frogs here. There's some toads like the American bullfrog. There are banjo frogs, leopard frogs, all sorts of them. And when they start waking up, the males will start making noise, looking for a girlfriend, a mate, someone they can have eggs with and reproduce more frogs and toads. But once they wake up fully, then that's when the mating begins, but that's also when they start eating more and start looking for more. The frogs will go in and out of this period where they're not active as the temperatures shift. You know, for here, we had some mornings that were in the 30 degrees, but got up into the 60 degrees during the day. Then some cold blasts come in, we got a little bit extra snow, and so they'll go back into this state. So they don't need food, they don't need much air, and they can wait out the bad temperatures. But once it's time and they're ready to go, they're ready to start making the next generation of frogs. The loudness of the frog starts to increase. Hopefully, that's what's going to attract the females. Once there was a time where we were driving back and all the frogs were hopping from one side of the road to the other side of the road in this rainstorm. That is them moving to the other, hopefully less predator-filled ponds. But sometimes I feel bad. And so I go out and I pick the frogs up on a trail. I don't get myself in danger on a road, but pick them up and carry them off the trail. I didn't know this, and this hasn't happened to me, but they can scream. They can release a call of danger if someone picks them up and for whatever reason, they're very angry about it. Now, it can get a bit confusing when we hear a frog or wonder, is that a frog or is that a peeper or is that a toad? And that's where you'll have to sit down, find a website that shows the frogs in your area. And most of them have recorded calls. There are bird apps out there that you can let it listen and it will tell you what bird you have. Right now, I don't see a frog app like that. So sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out what you have. So Em and I found a tree frog once and he was sitting on a leaf. This was past breeding season. The leaf was huge. And so it was midsummer. Now they're looking for someplace that gets moisture that they can just live in the tree areas. The tree frog can change pigment so that it blends in. So the tree frog we found was the same color green this leaf was. But if they are in a pile of dead leaves that are brown and orange, they can take up that texture too. So then when we saw other families and people walking by, we would back up so those people could get a chance to see this tree frog. Believe it or not, people tend to be wrapped up in their own things. They're looking at their phones, they're talking to each other, which is great, but not looking around and seeing what you can find. The one thing Em and I are very good at, and we try very hard at, is not to get wrapped up in our things, but instead make sure we look around. We observe the things that are going on around us. But this camouflage, this ability of this case, the tree frog, the eastern tree frog, to be able to hide in plain sight because he can blend into his background wherever he is. That's a defense mechanism that keeps him safe. Some frogs have some toxins, maybe that makes just your skin itch, or some that are even more dangerous. One of them being the dart frog, which you'll see in zoos very often. It's one of the most toxic animals on Earth. There's also the fact that frogs are known for their jumping ability. They can jump very long distances and trying to get away. So as I'm trying to go and capture a frog and bring them to the other side of the road, usually they jump far faster than I can catch them and get off the road themselves. In my area, I have what's called a cricket frog, a chorus frog, green frog, mink frog, the northern leopard frog, the pickerel frog, the tree frog, the American bullfrog, and the peepers. And I've heard the boreal chorus frogs while camping in the woods. So as I mentioned, some frogs like to live in ponds. The tree frogs like to live in the tree areas. That makes sense because of their name. But other frogs like to live in low vegetation near water. They like to live in ponds or near ponds or moving streams. The northern leopard frog, they're very small. They like to eat ants and beetles, and they primarily like to live in permanent ponds and streams. So I mentioned before about these spring peepers, and we love them. They are very little. They're about 3/4 of an inch large, and it says you can tell they have a dark colored X across their back. It's quite common. Like I said, they're the first ones that come out, and they're one of the loudest frogs you'll hear in marsh areas. And like most frogs, they are nocturnal. That's when they go out and hunt. But when Em and I hear them, we're out in the mornings and they are peeping quite loudly. I spend a good deal of time when we're in this area in my binoculars looking to see if I can just see one of them. They are so hidden inside the reeds of marshes, it's very hard to see. What I started to figure out about them is you can see with the waves in the water that those are sound waves. And so when it goes out and around, like if you were to throw a rock in a lake and the water waves around it, sound also does that too. So how you find them, and I did find one once inside of my binoculars, is you look for the sound waves and then you try to trace it back. And maybe if he's on the right side and the direction you're looking at, you'll be able to see this little brown frog. And the easiest way to see him is to watch the air sac move out as he's about to sing. So I hope you enjoy this look at frogs. And so my challenge to you is see if you can go find a frog. And it's a little easier to do now that we're fully into spring. But if you can go to a marsh area, a pond place, that's where you're going to find most of them this time of the year. Again, as they start getting more into the depth of the year, the tree frogs and everything else will be more in the woodland areas, while most of the frogs are in permanent ponds, rivers. And I'm sure there are websites that talk about the kinds of frogs and toads that live in your area and will help you know where it is you need to look to go find them. All right, everyone, thanks so much. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please remember to subscribe. Leave a review. You can email me at jill@startwithsmallsteps.com. I appreciate you listening. So go out there and see a frog or a toad or a peeper.